Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Call into us today for your flu and COVID vaccines at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Now, RTE executives are appearing before the Dáil Public Accounts Committee this morning, and already the Director General Kevin Backhurst has been responding to the Chair Brian Stanley over whether RTE will hand over a note detailing what was said at a meeting attended by Noel Kelly and the former Director General Dee Forbes in 2020, with Mr. Backhurst suggesting the committee should request that the former DG could assist the committee by providing written answers to them.
Because we do want to provide maximum transparency, and as you'll have seen from the hundreds of documents we've provided you with almost everything bar a couple of documents. So this is an important issue, so we've discussed it over the summer. I have to say two things. I mean, we would also like to hear from Dee Forbes and look forward to her appearing in this committee, and if she doesn't appear here, maybe she could answer a question in writing to you.
Well, we're joined by Jack Horgan-Jones, political reporter with the Irish Times, who's keeping an eye across those proceedings as they happen. Good morning, Jack.
Morning, Claire.
So let's talk about what was happening there in that clip. So the former DG, we know, was invited to appear there at the Public Accounts Committee today. She still says her health doesn't permit it. But Kevin Backhurst, the current Director General, had a suggestion for the committee.
Yeah, and to be fair, this is not the first time that Dee Forbes has been invited to appear before either the Public Accounts Committee or the Oireachtas Media Committee and has declined on the grounds of ill health. And her and Jim Jennings, the former Director of Content at RTE, have effectively been the ghost of the banquet to some extent, because they have key insights into, or certainly the committees believe they have key insights into the events that unfolded leading up to the Roundtable payments controversy and also the wider kind of corporate governance and financial governance of the organisation. But they've been unavailable to come before the committee, both for reasons of poor health. So it's interesting to see Kevin Backhurst casually almost launching this idea that Dee Forbes, while she may not be able to appear in person on one of these fairly grueling encounters which can run over several hours with the committees, she may be able to give a written statement. And I would imagine, without any insight into exactly what will come next, I would imagine that's something that the committee will pick up that ball and run with it, because it would make sense. There are so many outstanding questions, and her insights and her perspective are so germane and key to these events that, you know, it would be, I would imagine, easy for them to pull together a document of questions, issues outstanding that they want addressed, and send it off to her, and she'd be able to respond to that in her own time and with her own advices on board.
All right, well, we have another clip now, because Verona Murphy was the first TD to examine the RTE representatives there in the last couple of minutes, and she was asking about the current financial situation at the organisation.
Do you believe it'll be insolvent this time next year?
No, not if we get the...
Well, if this trend continues.
Not if we get the funding that's been suggested.
So and if we
make significant cuts to our spend.
OK, so can I ask, when is your cut-off point for receiving that funding? When is the deadline?
Well, we've done various scenarios. You know, we need it by sort of early spring next year.
Early spring next year.
But I understand the timetable is earlier than that.
And if you don't get it, do you believe RTE will be insolvent?
Yes, and I've made that point.
Pardon? Right, so very stark warning there about the financial situation at RTE, Jack.
Very much so. There's no getting around it. He has said that by the time next spring rolls around, the broadcaster will effectively be insolvent unless it gets a bailout from the government. And I presume the bailout that he's referencing there is not the 16 million that has been promised in the budget, but rather the larger amount that has been recommended by New Era, which was running the rule over the books of RTE for several months now, and has told the government, the media minister, Catherine Martin, confirmed yesterday that RTE needs 61 million, of which the Exchequer should stump up 40 million. Now, what's interesting as well is that Kevin Backhurst said there that he effectively has been led to understand that that money will come before that kind of crunch point of next spring arises. But the government has given no such explicit undertaking and is still indicating very much that that funding is contingent on the delivery of this wider reform plan that Kevin Backhurst has been working on and initially had promised to deliver to Catherine Martin before the budget, but now is running a little bit behind that. So there's an interesting issue there of sequencing and what exactly will unlock that funding. But the picture that he's presenting and the picture that Verona Murphy drew out under very very sustained and targeted questioning is one of an enormous financial black hole emerging at the company, or at the broadcaster rather, which has the commercial director, or the financial director, Mike Fives, was saying 68 million euros on hand, which sounds like a lot of money, but for context, RTE spent 339 million in 2022, expects to spend 350 million this year. So really, that's just a few months' money to cover the outgoings, and it's already predicting a deficit of 10 to 12 million this year. It has 35 million borrowing capacity, which it can't use to cover the deficit. But again, 35 million against the backdrop of an organisation that will spend 10 times that this year. It's not a huge amount of headroom, and then you can kind of see those financial jaws beginning to close as you move closer toward that spring date, and the imperative to get that outside bailout in from the government growing all the time. The question is just, what's the quid pro quo? What have they offered? Is it enough to convince the government? And what will the broadcaster look like at the far side of this very tempestuous episode, which is building to another peak in the next couple of months?
Yep, and they're all questions that will have to be answered fairly soon. There was some interesting detail as well in his opening statement about the various reports that have been carried out into issues at RTE, and some of them, it's believed, will be ready and quite possibly in the public domain within a couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's easy to lose track of how many different overlapping reports there are from Mazars, Grant Thornton, you know, the independent panels that have been appointed by Catherine Martin. But I think the indication that he gave is that the some of the reports by Mazars, I believe it was, should be done in early November. So we've become used to this kind of these bursts of activity around the RTE story, often hinged off the publication of a report, or, you know, the discovery of some new outrageous detail or some new insight into the financial black hole. And it looks like that will continue over the autumn and into the winter with publication of those kind of interim reports from the financial firms that are looking into RTE before we build again towards that kind of peak next spring, when those government commissioned oversight reports into governance at RTE will be finished. And that, I suspect, will be the final trigger point for, you know, lasting decisions to be made about the future of the broadcaster and the future model that will be employed there.
I'm going back over what you told us there on the finances, but I think it's worth it because Mike Fives in the last few minutes has said, now he's the financial controller, he has said again that RTE has enough money in cash reserves, Jack, to last until spring 2024. And the importance of that, just to reiterate it again, is that the government really has RTE over a barrel here when it comes to, as you said, what unlocks funding from the government.
It does. And the government has been very clear that it wants to see substantial overhauls of the way RTE does business. What is not clear, and what has always been a little bit woolly, to be frank, is exactly what that might look like. So we've seen the measures that RTE has taken to effectively pull up the spending handbrake in some regards. You know, there's now going to be, it seems, a voluntary redundancy scheme. There has been a hiring freeze. But, I mean, none of those are fundamental structural reforms. They're cash-saving measures to protect the balance sheet in the short term. So I think one of the things that the committee will probe today, and that I think both government and external stakeholders, i.e. the public in general, will want to see is, you know, what exactly does that mean? What exactly does really meaningful change look like at RTE? Because it's a bit of a black box at the moment.
And also in the opening statement, Kevin Backer said those measures that he's already taken, so the recruitment freeze and ending discretionary spending, that had saved several million. Now, in the early few minutes of the hearing today, did any of the members question him on that? Because several million really could mean anything.
Several million to me suggests, you know, single-digit millions. I think if it was more than 10 million, I have no particular insight into whether that is the case, but if it was more than 10 million, I think you'd indicate that. Several million would suggest, you know, a drop in the ocean, really. And that would be in keeping with what Kevin Backer said at his last appearance. I can't even remember whether it was the Public Accounts Committee or the Media Committee, but certainly he was saying, there are only so many levers I can pull. There are only so many spending controls I can actually exert power over at short notice. The capacity to conserve cash is a kind of emergency one as opposed to a more widespread one, because so much spending is kind of built into the day-to-day, week-to-week, and month-to-month operations of RTE. So I think that, you know, stand to be corrected on this if it's not the case, but if they were achieving really fundamental savings here, they would have indicated that as opposed to just saying several million.
Yeah, I see in the last few minutes he said, Kevin Backhurst has said that €21 million in savings is needed before spring of next year. And he explains that investment in digital projects, work on independent productions will have to be pulled right back. But he's saying that he's not looking at compulsory redundancy, certainly at the moment. Jack, we'll leave it there because that hearing is ongoing at the Public Accounts Committee. We'll bring our listeners any news if it emerges over the coming hour or so. Thank you very much to Jack Horgan-Jones from the Irish Times. Coming up next, the dust is settling on this week's budget, but small businesses are working out what it means for them. That's after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.